All right.
Hey, man, please be seated.
Let's go, Wayne.
Wow,
come
it's
on.
Really good to see everyone. Seriously, it's been a very, very, you guys know what kind of week it's been. You know, it's been a very, very challenging week.
Come on, brother.
You know, a giving week. A giving week. You know, but again, you know, it's really, really good to see everyone, okay?
Amen.
Very good to see my brothers and my sisters who love the Lord. And I pray, you know, that the message this morning will really encourage us, okay?
Amen.
You know, because after a week like what we've had,
yes.
You know, I was thinking about what should I talk about? You know, what's appropriate to talk about? You know, and the title of my message today is Servants Must Remain Watchful. Okay, servants must remain watchful. And let's turn in our Bibles. To Luke chapter 12. Or on your phone. There's Bibles on the phone. This is the first time you guys will see me actually wearing glasses. I've humbled out. I really did. Amen, amen. That's right. There you go. There you go. Yeah, Luke chapter 12, verse 35. We'll start there, okay? Jesus says, "Be dressed ready for service. Keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master, truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And then here comes Peter. Peter's kind of like me. Peter asks, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" You know, and the Lord says, "Who then is a faithful and wise manager, whom the master put in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming.' And then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers." Very, very strong words.
Yes.
Wow. You know, but one thing I appreciate about Jesus, guys, is that he was honest. He was real. He tells us the truth. Mm-hmm. He told us the way that it is.
Yeah.
You know, he did not beat around the bush.
Yeah.
You know, but in these verses, Jesus teaches his disciples how to wait, how to be watchful. And throughout scripture, we see that waiting is what men and women of faith are called to do. You know, we can, you know, read in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith,
yes. You
know, where we see, you know, that these guys, they were still waiting for the promise. They're still waiting for it to this very day. And in Hebrews 11, verse 39, it says, "Because together with us, together with us would they be made perfect."
Yeah.
So when we received our glorified bodies, yes. Man, which I so am waiting
Me
for.
Too.
This body of mine, I tell you,
yes.
Is deteriorating.
Yes.
You might not see any gray hairs on my head, but
there
are some if you look really close. Okay, but we will all receive our glorified bodies together. And man, what a day that will be. That is our hope. That is our hope to receive that glorified body. You know, so if Jesus made watching or waiting a requirement in discipleship, you know, he calls us to wait. He calls us to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And if he requires it of us, you know, I believe that we as Christians, we need to know actually how to do it. We need to know actually what is Jesus talking about? What is he implying? What is he asking of each and every single one of us? You know, because in reality, guys, not everyone waits on Jesus. Not everyone waits in readiness for his return. Not everyone. And oftentimes it shows by the way that we live our lives. We're not ready. You know, and that's why Jesus says, be ready. You know, but point number one is that we need to be prepared. It says in verse 35, it says, be dressed. Be dressed and ready for service. And you know what service does? It requires us to have the right clothing, doesn't it? Whenever we serve, it requires us to have the right clothing. But in this instance, it says, be dressed, ready for service. Be dressed with unstained clothing. And that, guys, is our righteousness before God. You know, that's what Jesus is talking about, our righteousness. Be dressed and ready for service. You know, it's amazing. We often say, you know, I mean, our clothing, the Bible says our clothing is washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
How could a white clothes be washed in blood, but yet still remains perfectly white and clean? Only God can do that. Amen?
Amen.
You know, this represents us living sin-free lives. And I know that when I say that, you know, sometimes, you know, sin-free lives, what? How is that possible? You know, but seriously, even as Christians, we say that, you know, but Jesus calls us to live a righteous life. A righteous life before him. And oftentimes, we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe that we can live sin-free, righteous lives before God? You know, to live by the Spirit and never be lacking in zeal. You know, the example of Jesus, you know, we need to be servants because Jesus was a servant. And the example of Jesus is him taking off his outer garments, wrapping a towel around his waist, and washed his disciples' feet. You know, in our day, you know, we would say we need to roll up our sleeves and serve. You know, but Jesus, you know, he expects us, you know, to serve and to wait on him until he comes back. Okay, so point number two is that we need to keep our lamps burning. Okay, to keep our lamps burning, one's waiting should be spent making all the preparations needed for the Lord's return. You know, that's what the faithful servants was doing. You know, they were making all the right preparations. So when he came, no, they just opened the door. They weren't afraid. He goes, Lord, I've been about my business. I'm ready. I'm ready for you. You know, remember, you know, the 10 virgins, right?
Yeah.
The parable of the 10 virgins.
Yeah.
5 were wise,
yeah.
And 5 was foolish. Mm. The 5 of them, they weren't prepared,
yeah.
And they were shut out of that great banquet.
Right.
You know, when Jesus comes back, he does not want us to be surprised.
Right.
He doesn't want us to be surprised. And we won't be surprised if we're actually expecting him and waiting for him. Okay? You know, Paul puts it very, 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 very well. You know, he says to watch your life and your doctrine closely. So in this, you know, we'll be able to save ourselves and everyone else who hears us. We need to watch our life and our doctrine. He says that point number three is be like a devoted servant. A devoted servant is one that has nothing to fear because he has been about his master's business. In this parable, the master has been gone for quite some time. A wedding in those days could take weeks of celebration. Wow, could you imagine that?
I like that.
You like that? Wow. My wedding day was glorious. But I was a little stressed. I can't imagine it being, wow, man, weeks. Like these guys, it was a big deal when somebody got married.
Yeah.
A big deal in that culture. And they would celebrate. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so the master would be gone. The person that owns the house would be gone for quite some time. You know, but when the master comes back, the servant immediately opens the door for him in full confidence that his master's house and business is in order. In verse 37, you know, many blessings await those whom the master finds watching. You know, and what Jesus is saying here is that the master, who is Jesus, will dress himself to serve when he comes back. Wow, amazing. Jesus will dress himself to serve when he comes back. We will be blessed by Christ serving us. You know, it might seem like a little bit of a contradiction, you know? Like that Christ, when he comes back, he's going to actually serve us. You know, but when we think about it, that's what he did the first time he came.
That's right.
You know, he came to serve. And when he comes back again, he's going to come to serve.
Amen.
You know, service is a part of God's nature.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. Totally amazing. You know, the world sees serving as unpleasant, but Jesus elevated serving as something that is honorable.
Amen.
He led and served at the same time. And if Jesus does not find serving demeaning, then it should not be demeaning to us either.
Right.
You know, oftentimes, you know, we find serving, or, you know, I know that I struggle with it at times, you know, to do certain things. And, you know, oftentimes I get tired and I don't want to do it. You know, I go by my feelings. You know, I don't deny myself. You know, but serving is our glory, guys.
Yeah. Yes.
And the words of Jesus, it really strongly suggests this. You know, that we are to be servants.
Amen.
You know, once again, you know, in verse 38, Jesus repeats that there will be blessings for those who keep watch when he comes. It says there that when he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the owner of the house is delayed. And perhaps while he's delayed, the servants will let their guards down.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, guys, guess what? We are absolutely in that time.
Yeah.
You know, we're in that time now where, you know, it seems like Jesus is taking a long time to come back.
Yeah.
It does, you know. We're like, oh, it's been almost 2,000 years and he's not coming back. You know, actually, some of us actually wish that he doesn't come back. Some of us wish that he would not come back. You know, some of us say, yeah, but I'm not married yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't have any kids yet. So, no, I don't want him to come back. Yeah, but I haven't acquired the big house yet, or what? So I don't want him to come back. Seriously, a lot of us say things like that. They don't want him to come back. But it's amazing. When I think about the Apostle John, when Jesus gave him all the revelation to write down in the book of Revelations, and Jesus specifically told him, some of it will happen now, some of it is for the future, way in the future to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And then at the end of his letter, the Apostle John says, come, Lord Jesus, even though you told me that it's going to be way ahead, but please come. I don't mind if you come now.
Yeah.
He was ready.
Yeah.
That's how much, you know, he had that connection and he knew the promise that Jesus, you know, made to them about the kingdom of God to come and them being a part of it. And us, we're all going to be a part of it. But that's what I'll say. Come, Lord Jesus. Sometimes I say that and my kids are like, what are you talking about? sometimes they think both Angela and I are just crazy, you know, the way we speak. We speak about, you know, Jesus coming and they're just like, well, I hope he doesn't come now because I'm a kid. But guys, yes, absolutely, we need to be ready.
Amen.
You know, in verse 39, it says, you know, it talks about the master / servant image.
Mm.
You know, that was intended to encourage those who wait.
Mm.
And then it goes on to talk about the owner / thief image.
Mm.
And that is a warning to those who do not wait
expectantly
for the Lord's return.
Mm.
And guys, you know, in the time that we live in, the world that we live in right now, or I should say this very time, it's very different from the time where I was a teenager and growing up as a child.
Yeah.
Very, very different. And even in the church, the culture has changed also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes we will adopt the thinking of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, rather than adopt what the scriptures teach and what Jesus expects of us.
Yeah.
Come on, brother.
And I'm going to talk about it today because this is one subject, guys, that even as Christians, sometimes we don't want to talk about it.
Come on now.
And that is the area of sin. We don't want to talk about it. There are some churches that don't even mention it. But this is one subject that Jesus talks about the most. But there is a sin problem in our world. There really is a sin problem. You know, and oftentimes, what do? We make excuses. Okay, we make excuses. You know, I mean, I do a job that I'm out there in the elements. Okay, I'm out in the elements and I see a lot of things. Okay, and the devil, you know, tempts me with a lot of things, especially in the area of lust. Okay, but I decided, you know, years ago to put lust, to kill lust in my life. Okay, so here is where we make a mistake a lot of the times in our thinking. Perhaps we'll see a woman not dressed properly. Could be a guy not dressed properly also. Same thing, we all struggle with the same things. And so what I used to say is, it's their fault for dressing that way, so that's why I'm going to do it. And then one day I pray to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to struggle with this. Reveal to me. Reveal to me, Lord, how I can overcome this. And you know what? The Lord revealed to me that you are making excuses. It is not about what the person is wearing. But it is about your lack of self-control. And we make excuses for sin. You know, some of us, you know, we are shy. Mm-hmm. We're timid. Mm-hmm. And we think that is okay. Mm. We don't identify that. You know what? No, it's actually pride.
Mm. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
It is actually pride. You know, same thing with the computer. Oh, it just popped up on my screen, so therefore I just watched it because it just came up. It wasn't me. I didn't click nothing.
Yeah.
Guys, you know what? This is what Jesus means when he says to keep watch.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
That's right, brother.
He's not saying to look up into the sky and all day and...
Come on, bro.
No, he's not saying that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sky.
Yeah.
The sky is beautiful.
It is.
The clouds and everything, man. Wow, I love days like this.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying that we need to keep watch over our lives.
Right,
keep watch over our lives. So in the first image, Jesus is portrayed as a master who is welcomed and comes with a reward. And in this image, he's portrayed as a thief and is not welcomed. Is that how we will perceive Jesus? Oh, I'm not ready yet. But he's, you know, he comes and he's going to take everything away from me. You know, that's what Jesus is saying. And in the first image, the master owns the house. And again, the master is Jesus. He owns the house. And guess who the house is? We are the house.
Yes, sir.
Each and every single individual. We are the house. And God is building us up to become more and more like his son.
Amen.
You know, but in the second image, the man owns the house. Amazing. The man owns the house. Doesn't that sound cool? I'm the man. Back in the day, man, that's how I used to speak. Oh, yeah, the man. And I used to have a certain walk about me, too, you know, the man. Woo, man. There was even one time where, as even as a Christian, I was arrogant. You know, and I remember even the walk tried to come back. You guys know what I'm talking about. You guys know. The walk tried to come back. But yes, but here we see the owner of the house, you know, obviously he loses his possessions. You know, so what is it that determines if Jesus is a welcome master or a dreaded thief? Or a dreaded thief? It is the one who watches and waits expectantly for the Lord's return. Yes. Yeah. And who loves him with everything that they've got. You see, the homeowner does not know the Lord or wishes to know him. Yeah. And that's the danger of, you know, us as we live out our Christian life. We have to make sure that we don't become that homeowner. We have to make sure that the Lord is the one that rules our bodies. And that we are not the owner of that house. If we are, you know, as what I said, I love how Jesus just tells us the truth. Yes. He really does prepare us.
Yes, he does.
He really does. You know, the homeowner does not know the Lord or wishes to know him. His hope is that the gospel message is not true. And obviously, you know, I mean, this could mean the people in the world. We see that, you know, they hear the message and their hope in the back of their mind is, I hope that this message is not true. And that they also hope that the Lord will never come back. For he knows that when Jesus comes back, he will take everything from him. So Jesus is viewed to many as a loss. As a loss. Man, guys, when Jesus comes back, there will be a great war when he comes back. A great war. And those of us who are his children, the Bible says that we are going to rule with Christ.
Amen.
Okay? We will rule with Christ in his kingdom. But there'll be a great war. There'll be many people who will think about their riches. They'll think about what they have. Oh, this, that, oh, I'm going to lose this. They won't even be able to think straight. You know, and that's what sin does, you know, whenever we love material possessions. You know, and we see that's how the world is made up of material things. You know, but there's a loving bond between the master and his servants. And I hope that you guys feel that this morning, that there's a loving bond. God loves us. He cherishes us. And he wants us to be in his presence. He really does. Because they know, we know, and love the Lord. You know, the servants await his return because of who he is. You know, the Almighty, the Son of God. You know, but one thing is for sure in this parable is that both the servants and the homeowner did not know when the master was coming back. No idea. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Right.
We can kind of guess. Many people try to guess and was ashamed, I guess, but, you know, we can kind of try to guess or we can kind of know, but we don't really know exactly when he's going to come back. But guys, believe me, I don't want us to think that, okay, I don't know when he's going to come back, so I have time to repent.
Yeah.
Again, the virgins, that's what they did.
Yeah.
That's what they, you know. The five that didn't keep their lamps burning, they had no zeal, no purpose for the Lord. It was only in name. Yeah. Their oil ran out. And then they went to the other five. Could I have some of yours? At the end, we won't be able to borrow from each other. It's it's going to be too late. Mm-hmm. You know, it will be too late. You know, but it's amazing to see, though, the two drastically, you know, different results. Very, very drastic. Right. You know, so will Jesus be a thief to you? Or will he be, you know, the Savior that he wants to be for us? You know, in Christianity, you know, we're often told about once saved, you guys heard it, always saved. Okay, but yeah, as we read through the scriptures, guys, we'll see that is not true. And, you know, if we keep reading further down in the scripture, we will see where Jesus says, man, you know, you're going to be assigned a place with the unbelievers if you're not ready. You know, so we need to be living our lives by faith. You know, because we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. He could come back now. Okay. He could come back now. Or he could come back, God, you know, for us, he could come back actually when we die. Okay? When we pass away from this earth. Then it will be too late. Okay? So this morning, you know, this is an encouragement. Okay, guys? This is not a scare tactic. Okay? But it really is a wake-up call. As what I said, after the week that we've all had. Yes. Yes. After, you know, Tony, you know, has been to two funerals. Yeah, the two funerals this week. Wow. And we really need to put life into perspective.
Right.
We really do. You know, we need to put it into perspective and we need to be ready.
Amen.
We need to be ready. We need to be living righteous lives before God. Make a decision in your heart that sin will be no more excuse for you.
Amen.
You're not going to make excuses anymore.
Yeah.
We need to kill lust in our lives. Mm-hmm. We need to kill sexual immorality.
Yes.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if I am... Every day I deliver to a bank. I deliver to a bank and I go to this bank every day. And because I lack so much self-control, Satan comes to me and tempts me to, hey, you know what, Wayne? Wow, man, look at all that money that they're counting in the back. You can rob it.
Yeah.
Am I going to actually rob that bank?
No. That's
no. I'm not going to.
That's right.
Because I know that it's ludicrous to do something like that. And I will get caught.
Yeah.
I'm on camera every single day going in.
Yeah.
They're going to go, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah. See the walk.
They see the walk, yes. They see the walk. Okay, so God has called us to live righteous lives.
Yeah.
Not sinful lives. So this is what Jesus means when he says to keep watch. Keep watch over you. I, you know, obviously, you know what I mean? I can't, you know, I'm not with everybody 24 hours a day. So we all need to take responsibility for our own salvation,
sir.
Guys.
Right.
Okay, so when something pops up on your computer, be self-controlled. Practice self-control.
Amen.
When you see somebody dress inappropriately, practice self-control. Refuse it. Reject it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I do? I resist you in the name of Jesus.
Mom.
I resist
Mom.
You.
Mom.
In the name of Jesus. I resist that. I resist that temptation. I don't heed to it.
Come on.
Amen.
I used to have little fights with my wife. You know, little things.
Yeah.
I thought that I had the right. I thought I had the right to actually go there.
Mm.
Oh, I'm a human being. I get angry. I can do this.
Come on.
You know, but yesterday I was, we were talking with, it was actually Kazeah, Jonathan and Jessica, they were at work. And so Kazeah was hanging out with us because she didn't have her siblings around. No. And she said to us, yeah, you know, wow, man, I would really love to become a Christian one day. You know, and then she was going back and she goes, wow, I remember when, you know, you guys just changed. That's what she said. She said, I remember when you guys just changed. And I goes, yeah, when was that?
Amen.
And she goes, yeah, you know, this and this and this. And I goes, okay, that was a time when I made up my mind that I will no longer give excuses to sin.
Come on, bro.
And it kind of freaked her out. It kind of freaked her out, but she really appreciates it. She goes, man, I want that. I want that. So God is calling us to a higher calling. Yeah. Okay, so no more excuses about sin.
Yes.
Okay, and we need to know how to keep watch.
Yes.
We keep watch not by looking up into the sky.
Right.
Okay, but we keep watch by keeping sin out of our lives. Our clothes, our white clothes should not be stained by sin.
Amen.
Okay, but it needs to be pure and white when Jesus comes back. So that when he comes, we're not afraid. We're not saying, oh my gosh, am I right before him? No. Whether or not he comes back or whether we pass away, we are ready because our lives are sin-free. Okay? So obviously, you know, as what I said, this is what Jesus died for, guys. This is what he died for. And we need to really think about this the next time we are going to sin. Why did Jesus die? He died for this very sin. Big sin, small sin, whatever, it's all sin.
That's right.
He died for it. And God was willing to give his one and only son to die for each and every single one of us so that we can have that blessed hope, the awesome salvation that awaits us. Man, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait for the Lord to come back. I really do want him to come back. I really do. I want him to come back. I wouldn't mind if he comes back right now.
Come on.
I'll take on the attitude of John. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Okay, so I pray, you know, that this morning that we can remember the purpose of God and the reason why he sent his son. Okay, is to eliminate sin so that sin will have no more dominion over us. And that we can live victorious lives in Jesus. So brothers and sisters, let's keep watch over our lives. And you know, as I always like to end with this, we'll hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. Let us pray as we remember our Lord and our Savior this morning and the sacrifice that he's made for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Father in heaven, for this time that as brothers and sisters, that we can all be here to be able to worship you together, to be able to come to the mountain of the Lord, to be able to hear the word of God and to be able to have our hearts minister to. And I pray, God in heaven, that as we remember your son, you know, that he came specifically to die for the sins of the world. I pray, Father in heaven, that we will be filled with gratitude in our hearts for the sacrifice that you've provided in your son. As we take the bread that represents his body, as we take the fruit of the vine that represents the blood, I pray, Father in heaven, that we can take it with a clear heart and a clear mind and, you know, with decisions that we will make to draw closer to you and to bring glory to your name. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.